This is 89.9 WWNO. Yes, we're headed for another art-filled week. Are you making plans, or do you need some ideas? Well, you've come to the right place. Whether you're in the mood to travel the globe through ethnic dance and music, hear about the similarities between the Senegalese of Saint-Louis and the Big Easy, or stroll through the Arts District as a local art spot celebrates the Big 3-0. It's all in the mixed media. Come along as we go inside the arts. Hi, I'm your host, Diane Mack. Is it possible to go globetrotting without leaving New Orleans? Well, a local dance and music ensemble, which got its start at the University of New Orleans 33 years ago, is putting its best foot forward to take you on just such a journey this weekend. And joining me today to talk about that trip is one of the original members and co-artistic director of Comanca Ethnic Dance and Music Ensemble, Daniel Gianfala. Welcome to Inside the Arts.
Oh, thank you, Diane. It's wonderful to be here.
And congratulations as you enter your 33rd year with Comanca.
Right, it's been a while.
Your upcoming concert promises to take audiences on a trip to many foreign lands through dance and music. Tell us, where will we go?
Well, it's like a variety show of ethnic music and dance. It's going to be all over the world. Hungary, Brazil, the Basque area of Spain, France, you know, that whole controversy about the Basque separatists. You know, we're just going to the village and having a wonderful dance party in the Basque area. And then we're doing something called El Amor Brujo, which is an interpretive dance suite. It's in the range of Spanish culture, but it's neoclassic Spanish dance in a flamenco style. And we're doing another neoclassic dance piece with the Aram Khachaturian Masquerade Suite, which includes a romance of unrequited love and then a boisterous mazurka, and ends with the Grand Waltz.
And do you come back to the United States?
John Rohde, our choreographer, is taking us to the pop culture of the 1960s. And audience members of a certain age will know all the music from that era that's in our dance suite. If you were a child of the 60s, you would know the Freddie, Watusi, the Frug, the Twist, Mashed Potato, the Harlem Shuffle.
Yeah. It sounds like it's going to be a fun evening.
It's a dance party. Well, the whole concept is related to the King Cake Party. Back in the day, our neighborhoods would have a King Cake Party, and you'd have a king and queen. You'd pick the baby out of the cake, and whoever got the baby was the king or queen of the party. And so you got to dance with your favorite person at the party. So it's built around that scenario.
This is going to be quite exciting.
Yeah, we have a visit from the Termites, which is the New Orleans version of the Beatles, making an appearance at the party. A five-man singing group
called the Termites.
The Termites, yeah.
How do you go about choosing the countries that will be represented?
We start the year in training right after Labor Day in September, and we have an idea of what areas we'd like to go. We do some research on choreographers that might be available to construct a choreography for us. We have in-house choreographers like Alini, one of our dancers who is of Brazilian heritage. And so we approached her 2 years ago about perhaps some Brazilian dances, the sambas, or something, you know, as part of her culture. So we have that choreography in our repertoire this season. And we're going to go from samba to a very festive carnival dance, going into Dance of the Shamans. It's just a range of Brazilian culture through dance and music.
And the word Comanca, does it have a meaning?
Oh, it's from Eastern Europe. In Moldavia, there's a river called Comanca.
What would you say was most challenging for you on this year's program?
Getting everyone proficient in the styles, because we're running from Hungary to Basque to character ballet. So the dancer has to be trained in various areas of dance expertise, and also the American jazz dance. Yeah, the dancers have to be well trained and proficient in the dances.
How big is the ensemble, and where do the dancers come from?
Dancers, number about 13 women and 9 or 10 men. They come from Loyola Ballet Department. Sometimes we pick up young people from Tulane or also from the New Orleans Dance Academy. Any people who are interested in ethnic dance and performing, our rehearsals are open to the public, and you can walk in and decide if you like what we do, we'll try and work you into a choreography.
Tell me, why do you do what you do to keep the international folk culture alive for local audiences?
Well, it was originally a way to educate the New Orleans public on ethnic music and dance back in the 70s, related to probably the counterculture of the late 1960s. It was a back-to-the-earth movement, rediscovering roots in world culture. And the folk dancers decided that the way to present the world to New Orleans was to learn all of these dances and to bring that to the public.
When were you first attracted to dance?
Oh, I think it was probably 59 when, or 60, the summer of 60, when the twist made its debut. It was my first dance experience. My father was a musician. He would get the guitar out for family gatherings, and we'd ask him to play something fast. And so he'd do a boogie-woogie, and we would twist to the boogie-woogie. So that's, yeah, my first dance experience. And my mom taught me the jitterbug and partnering dances from her era. When you have a love of dance, it stays with you all your life.
What is the experience you hope audiences will have as you share these folk traditions?
We expect them, Diane, to really get an idea of the culture from the theater seat. And so the audience can see portrayed throughout the concert a variety of dance movement, variety of music styles, and that's an education in that form through entertainment.
It sounds like it's going to be a fantastic trip.
Well, it's a quite a variety, Diane, yeah.
Well, Daniel, thanks so much for stopping by.
Oh, you're welcome. Glad to be here. Thank you.
We've been talking with Daniel Gianfala, co-artistic director of Comenca Ethnic Dance and Music Ensemble. Comenca will take audiences around the world in two concert performances this weekend in Loyola University's Roussel Performance Hall at the corner of St. Charles Avenue and Calhoun Street, Saturday at 7:30 p.m. and Sunday afternoon at 2. You're listening to Inside the Arts on 89.9 WWNO, New Orleans Public Radio. I'm Diane Mack. Our cultural journey isn't over just yet. We still have some globetrotting to do. In April 2013, an international history colloquium was held in New Orleans featuring the similarities between the Senegalese of Saint Louis and the city of New Orleans. Two mirror cities. Playing during the colloquium was Nayam Wallo, a traditional Senegalese string band composed of five brothers from their village of the same name. Producer Sharon Litwin spoke with Emily Clark, one of the colloquium's organizers and an associate professor at Tulane University, about the five musicians and their relationship to New Orleans.
These musicians are from a part of Africa that we know today as Senegal, but in the 18th century, when captives were taken from that area and brought to French colonial Louisiana, it was known as Senegambia. Two-thirds of the captives brought from Africa to Louisiana came from this region of Africa, from Senegambia, and they came through two ports. One was Saint Louis, and the other was Goree Island. So our connection to these musicians, first and foremost, really, is that they are from a part of the world from which a large proportion of the original population of New Orleans, once it was established by the French, came. One one of the things that people may notice listening to this group play, even if they don't understand the language, which is Pular, one of the African languages spoken in Senegal today, is that it's a literary music making. The role of the singer, who is known as the griot, he's a praise singer, and he makes up verses to celebrate occasions in the lives and histories of villages and village people. So you really have to think of this as a performance of a story, of an event, and with a rhythmic background that is not necessarily melodic all the time. It really is something that supports this narrative storytelling.
Cecile Vidal, another participant in the two Mirror Cities Colloquium, is the Associate Professor of History in the School of Advanced Studies in Social Sciences in Paris. Her academic specialty is the social history of New Orleans and the Atlantic world. She is particularly interested in the influences on this city by the descendants of the many Senegalese who were captured and sent here.
Senegambian forced migration was important at the very beginning after the foundation of the city in 1718. At that time, nearly 6,000, 7,000 migrants came from Europe, either France and Germany. And in a longer period of time, between 1719 and 1731, as many enslaved migrants from Africa were deported from St. Louis or Gorée to New Orleans. And so they represented in a way the true founders of the city, in the sense that they were more rooted in comparison with the transient Europeans.
The music you're listening to in this concert is being played by a band of five musicians. They're brothers. And the tradition of singing, but especially the instruments that they are playing on, they're playing on an instrument called the hodu or the chalam, is an ancestor, a direct ancestor, fairly, of the banjo in America. And we know this because we can look at the instruments that they're playing and compare them to drawings that were made by Benjamin Henry Latrobe when he visited Congo Square in New Orleans at the beginning of the 19th century.
For WWNO, I'm Sharon Litwin.
Sharon Litwin is the co-founder of Nola V and the voice of WWNO's Notes from New Orleans series. In the Arts District, revelers are singing a different tune as they celebrate a milestone at a local art spot in the 300 block of Julia Street. Lemieux Galleries hits the big 3-0, and joining me now is gallery owner Denise Berthume. Congratulations on Lemieux Gallery's 30th anniversary.
It is quite a milestone. Definitely brings a smile to my face.
So tell us, how are you going to celebrate?
Well, I've called together our gallery artists to participate in a show titled 30th Anniversary Celebration, Wisdom, a Book Art Exhibition. And that'll open this Saturday, June 1st, from 6 to 8, with the other galleries, the coordinated openings in the art district.
So how did you come up with the title, Wisdom, a Book Art Exhibition?
You know how in the back of a calendar they have list all the anniversaries and what represents them, and 30th is pearls. I was toying with it, and pearls of wisdom came to mind because I certainly feel a lot wiser after 30 years, and hopefully I'm a lot wiser, and I am. So I just played with that, and because I have a great interest in admiration and attraction toward book art, I decided to combine the two and make it Wisdom, a Book Art Exhibition.
What will we see in this exhibition?
It's quite the variety. I left the interpretation up to the artists. We have a couple of painters. I have an old piece that Paul Ninas did, and it's a nude reclining reading a book. Gretchen Wheaton's done this incredible old, probably from the 40s, an album that vinyl albums was kept in, and she's used that and called it Recordings of Wisdom, and she's interviewed various artists of the area, a couple of famous people, and put their quotes in there. It's just a genius of a piece. Nini Bodenheimer, who's a ceramic artist, has done the sweet ceramic book. The cover is ceramic and it has an owl on the cover, and the theme of the owl and wisdom is throughout it. Sean O'Mealy, who works in wood, he's done two pieces. The books are out of wood. One hangs in the corner, so it's a corner book. Another has a binding on both sides. He calls it an infinite book, and you can't open it. It's closed on both sides. Alan Gerson has done Trump Roy books. Deborah Howell is including some light boxes, and they are about the moviegoer. And Shirley Rabe Macenter will be in the show. She's done a painting of a street person reading a book. Some pieces are based on books. Some pieces use pages of books. Some people have made handmade bindings of books. Some people use old library books. It's going to be quite the variety, and I think very pleasing to the visitors that come.
It puts a new spin on summer reading.
Yes, it does, definitely.
So let's go back in time to 1983 when you first opened the gallery. What was your mission?
I like to say my humble beginnings were on Algiers Point. I had a small shop there, and my goal at the time, there was just the Contemporary Arts Center barely opening in the Warehouse District, which is what it was called. It was 1987 when I moved on to Julia Street in the 500 block. I was the second gallery there. Simone Stern was also in the 500 block. And then in 1990, I moved down to where I am currently in the 300 block of Julia Street. I have an art history degree. I graduated from LSU. You know, I think most people get teased about having an art history degree. What are you going to do with that? And my answer would be whatever I want. But always knowing that I did want to have an art gallery. So it's been a long time goal of mine. Mostly started out with artists from the New Orleans area in Louisiana because that's the artists I knew. And it's expanded now. I really like Southern art, and specifically the Gulf Coast states from Texas to Florida. And we have some exceptions. We have some honorary Southern artists because of their connection with this region. They seem to get it. We like narrative work, and I think that coincides with the culture of storytelling in the South.
What does it take to run a gallery, and what keeps you going?
It takes perseverance. It's been very important to me to continue working with artists and helping artists reach their goals. And also, on the other side of the coin, it's very important to me to connect people with the artists and what it means to own artwork and maybe develop them into collectors. So the purpose has kept me going, and On a more technical level, I have great staff.
Oh. And the name, how did the gallery come to be called Lemieux Galleries?
Well, Lemieux is my mother's family name, Genevieve Lemieux, or Genevieve Lemieux. If you try to translate it, it means the cream of the crop or the better. So I always thought, well, that's something to live up to. And so my goal in the gallery is to live up to that reputation of the best.
And what are you hoping folks will come away with after experiencing what you have contributed to the local art scene?
I hope the experience of coming into Lemieux Galleries will open up your eyes, that when you leave, you have a fresher, more open view of life, and also that it adds quality to your life.
Well, Denise, congratulations on 30 years.
Thank you. I'm really proud of myself and my staff.
Denise Berthume, owner of Lemieux Galleries, celebrates 30 years with a group show Saturday from 6 to 8 p.m., 332 Julia Street in the Arts District. And we have something extra in our Lanyap Corner. Irvin Mayfield and the Jazz Playhouse Review with special guest Kermit Ruffins, plus the New Orleans Jazz Institute's Saturday Music School will perform tomorrow at the Young Leadership Council's Wednesdays at the Square Concert Series in Lafayette Square. The downtown concerts are free, beginning at 5 p.m. and running until 8 p.m. in the 600 block of Camp Street, rain or shine. The event features music, food, beverages, arts, and crafts. That's our show for this week. Inside the Arts is a production of WWNO. Our program is archived at WWNO.org. I'll be back with more ideas for your artistic palette next Tuesday at 1 p.m. when we'll go Inside the Arts. I'm Diane Mack.